Rough Rider Radio is paid for by Yavapai College and is solely responsible for its content.
From the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's time for Rough Rider Radio, a focus on Yavapai College. And now, here's your host for Rough Rider Radio, Kim Capen.
Welcome to Rough Rider Radio, the show about all things related to Yavapai College, your community college. We have two very informative guests with us today. First up is Dr. Joy D'Angelo and Mr. Greg Tomsho. They're heading up two very exciting new certificate programs, cybersecurity and programming, both offering important training for keeping computer networks of all sizes safe from hackers. We're going to take a short break and return with Joy D'Angelo and Greg Tomsho.
Follow your passion at Yavapai College. Are you interested in the world of numbers, computers, and business? Then the School of Business and Computer Systems is the place for you. Yavapai College's highly trained instructors will guide you in the areas of computer networking, accounting, paralegal studies, hospitality, and more. Combine your creative abilities with the technical know-how at Yavapai College and lay the groundwork for a new career. Visit their website today at yc.edu and learn to do what you love. You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we're back with Dr. Joy D'Angelo. She is Department Chair of the School of Business and Computer Systems. And with us as well is Greg Tomsho. He is the Program Director for Computer Networking Technology and Cisco Academy. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
So, Greg, you know, you're heading up a program, this cybersecurity, that is very, very hot right now. But you've had a long career coming up to this. Tell us how you got into informational technology and how you ended up here at Yavapai College. After all, you're not just an instructor, you're also a human.
That's
so we'd like
true.
To hear a little bit about how you got here.
Well, basically, it was chasing a job. Going back to the 30 years of experience that you alluded to, I started off my career in computer science, and I was a programmer for many years. And I then transitioned into kind of a technical support role and eventually sales manager and so forth. And eventually I got tired of the rat race and decided to get into education. And I was the director of information technology at a small community college. It wasn't that small, a little bit smaller than this, in North Carolina. And things weren't going as well as I had hoped there. I was starting to transition into a faculty position. And just didn't get the support for the program that I was hoping for. And I saw the job here posted for Cisco Academy director, and it was right up my alley because that's what I was doing. And
now, I'm always fascinated by the stories that people impart here about how they found Prescott. And had you ever heard of it? I know you saw a job opportunity somewhere, but
no.
You probably had never heard of Prescott, Arizona.
Never heard of it. Actually, the job was posted on Monster.com, which was kind of like the Indeed.com
right.
of the day.
Oh, I remember it.
And when I got the call, it was from a number I didn't recognize. And I listened to the voice message and said, "Who is that and where?" So I looked it up on the map real quick and said, "Oh, yeah, I remember applying for that job." And so then I called back and eventually, here I am.
So you must have had some kind of notion in your head. You've been in this business for 30 years.
Right.
So you were, it wasn't at the very beginning, but, you know, it was still a growing industry at that point. So you saw the writing on the wall.
Right. Yeah. Getting this job here at Prescott really was a huge opportunity for me because, like I said, where I was before, I wasn't really enjoying the way that the program was going, and I saw a huge growth opportunity. I started when I first came here just with four courses, and it's grown into an associate's degree and several certificates.
Great, and we'll find out more about that after we talk to Joy a little bit. Now, Joy has been in the community for a while, and she's a renowned leadership trainer, and I have actually been to some of her seminars, et cetera, on leadership, and does a fantastic job. And now she's moved into a new role. Joy, how did you get here, and how did you end up heading up this program?
Right. Well, my career actually started on Wall Street. I worked for IBM, believe it or not. So I started with computers, and I'm sort of ending with computers in a way. So I transitioned over to American International Group. And after having a four-hour commute each day, yeah. I went, you know, this is getting tiring. So I ended up moving out to Arizona. My parents retired out here. And I joined the faculty at Grand Canyon University in their Leadership Studies Department. And so started out there, worked there for 4 years, and was recruited here to start a leadership certificate program at Yavapai College.
Yeah, and it's very popular.
12 years ago.
It's popular, and we may get to that. But we want to hear a little bit more about the programming certificate. That is, it's very hot right now, and it's going to tie into what Greg is training for and training his people for in cybersecurity. Talk about that program. It's new. It's starting in the fall, and already there's interest from this community needing people who can program and help keep their computer network safe. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, we are starting a programming certificate starting this fall, and it will be a one-year certificate with jobs at the end.
Jobs at the end. So what kind of jobs are out there? You know, I did a little research, and boy, some of those jobs can bump up to $90,000, $100,000 a year, depending on what job that they're performing. But where are they going to be able to go after, I think there are about 7 building block courses in the program. Tell us about that and the types of jobs that they'll be qualified for after the year.
Well, before we started the certificate, I was charged to talk with area economic developers and area businesses, and working with Jim Robb's group over at the City of Prescott and Dr. Cindy Barnes of Shepherd Software. They have worked closely with us, telling us what programming languages are hot and what types of businesses they're trying to attract to our region to bring more jobs and economic development prosperity for the Quad Cities. So this particular program has courses like Python, Java, C#, JavaScript, a little sprinkling of Ruby and Ruby on Rails, and all these hot programming languages.
So delicious.
Yes. Yes. Java with your JavaScript.
Right. And sprinkles.
So at the end of this, like I said, we'll start it in the fall of 2018. We'll have our first graduating class in May 2019. And, Shepherd Software is offering jobs paying $25 to $30 an hour as entry level, computer programmers.
That's fantastic.
And so we're working closely with Shepherd, to get our graduates ready for those good jobs here in Prescott.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the process. It must have been very exciting to actually meet with potential employers out there. Mm-hmm. And community colleges have historically built their curriculum around needs in their local region. That must have been eye-opening for you to talk to those people who are saying, hey, we need people and we can actually provide well-paying jobs in a county that has not been known for well-paying jobs.
Exactly. Well, I credit the leadership of Mayor Oberg and Jim Robb and the folks over at the City of Prescott who really were instrumental last summer in talking with me about this and getting the ball rolling with what can we develop and what, how can we connect businesses with these programs. And cybersecurity was the other one that that they were highly interested in.
Right. So we can't hear enough about cybersecurity these days. Facebook in the news. Mark Zuckerberg was on the news doing a mea culpa for allowing all this information to be released to areas unknown and so on. So cybersecurity really is going to be a huge, huge growth area. And how are we training people for jobs in that area?
Yeah, you talk about growth. The talent gap is expected to be something like close to 2 million jobs by 2022. So that means that they've got jobs to fill and nobody to fill them that it's qualified. So we're not certainly the only organization that is coming up with cybersecurity programs. They're popping up all over the place and rapidly. And it is a field that is going to be changing. It's going to be growing. And it's going to be very tough to keep up. But that's our job as a community college. We actually can move very fast in We created the certificate and got it together and in the catalog in just about 6 weeks. The typical 4-year college might take 6 years to do
right.
something like
exactly.
that.
So,
yes.
Yeah, very nimble.
Been
and I
there.
Remember talking to you both about this a number of months ago, and now it's come to fruition. So that must be very exciting and maybe a little daunting to get it something like this together so quickly. Talk a little bit about the, we don't want to get into propeller head talk, but
right.
a little bit about the building blocks for students in this program.
Well, the building blocks already exist. We've been teaching computer networking, which is part of cybersecurity, since I've been here for the last 18 years. And we've been teaching security as part of it. What we've done now is added a few cybersecurity specific courses along with some of our general networking courses because students need that background. And we've added, like I said, the security specific courses and students, when they finish this certificate, will have the qualifications to get jobs as security specialists, mm-hmm. penetration testers possibly, mm-hmm. cybersecurity engineers. And those jobs with 3 to 5 years of experience command very high salaries. They are amongst the highest paid in the IT industry, $80,000, $100,000 and above.
Yeah, I saw that. I went on the Bureau of Labor Statistics to check jobs for both of your areas, and they both can exceed or bump up to $100,000 very quickly, depending on the job. It seems like going forward, if you've got cybersecurity on your resume and some training, that you're going to go in with a little strength.
Absolutely. Plus, there's certifications. Several of our courses train students for passing a certification exam, and that's really a good thing to have on your resume. Mm-hmm. It's just another credential beyond the certificate. And we're also building a concentration in cybersecurity to our degree program. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to stop at just a certificate, which is a handful of 8 classes and 26 credits. We are going to, by the next year, mm-hmm. the next catalog year, we'll have a concentration in cybersecurity as part of our AAS degree.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the confluence or articulation agreements from both programs, programming and cybersecurity, over to institutions like an Embry-Riddle that are 4-year and may be able to build on top of the skills that we provide here. Is that something that you look at?
Well, right now, the programming certificate that's coming out this fall is primarily for workplace skills.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at developing skills so people do computer programming, coding, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for anyone, either here locally or remotely. There's a lot of remote jobs now,
mm-hmm.
Sites like Upwork and organizations like this, that you can actually get good paying jobs doing computer programming and coding for these other organizations mm-hmm. right here in Prescott. So
mm-hmm.
right now we're focusing on just developing those skills, and the next phase will be certainly looking at how we can transfer this to the universities.
Sure. So what would you call that, like a terminating degree or certificate?
It's a start.
It's really job ready.
Yeah.
A job ready certificate, which is a great thing. We just have about another minute left. The time went very quickly. I want you guys to talk a little bit about how students can contact the college, learn a little bit more about where they would fit in, and how they can register for coming up this fall.
Well, they can certainly go onto our website and look for the computer networking technology or the computer science programs, and there's contact information there for myself or for Joy mm-hmm. and other people that may have detailed information that they may be looking for.
Mm-hmm.
These classes are starting, the new portion of the classes are starting up this fall, but we are actually delivering one of the classes this summer as an online course.
Mm-hmm.
And so students can get a head start and take the first 3 courses in the cybersecurity certificate starting this summer.
Very good. Okay, so registration for continuing students and new students will start sometime around April.
Mm-hmm.
So look forward to that. yc.edu is the website. Joy and Greg, thank you for joining us on Rough Rider Radio. We're going to take a short break and come back with Mr. John Morgan.
A college education can get really expensive. That's why people choose Yavapai College. They've done the math. Yavapai's tuition is thousands less than a state or private university. Definitely the best choice for a low-cost, high-quality education with super supportive instructors. You can take credit classes to earn a degree or certificate, to transfer over to another institution, or simply for personal enjoyment. Register today at yc.edu. Yavapai College. Life explored.
Coast to Coast with George Norrie. 7 nights a week beginning at 11 on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQNA. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with John Morgan, Dean of the Career and Technical Education Center, a.k.a. CTEC. John, welcome. You know, we had you back in the studio back in December, and we had previewed a program that was a training program for a new startup in Prescott known as ResaWare, and they are orthotic manufacturers, and they also make the kiosks that actually do these things, make these things right in store. Tell us about how that program finally did launch after December and where it is today.
Well, we had basically 6 weeks to pull this thing off, and fortunately we have some fantastic faculty, we have fantastic marketing teams, and we were able to put together a very robust curriculum for this program. And basically on a pretty short time frame, a couple of weeks of marketing, we pulled our first cohort in. The challenge we're going to be up against now is this company is growing so fast, we have really got to scramble to keep up with it. He now has contracts with China, he has contracts with Canada, he has his first contracts were with Costco, but now Walmart Supercenters, and he's looking at that as being a permanent fixture, not a rotating kiosk. So Supercenters are saying, no, we want this in our store as a permanent fixture. So this is a high-tech company who has a great idea and is going to take a very special kind of individual to do this work. We have to train them in high-end electronics. We have to train them in internet protocols. We have to train them not only how to troubleshoot, but be able to troubleshoot and repair in the field at these kiosks as they move around. So it's fascinating who's turned out for this. We think we have a very good first group, but now we've got to ratchet up. We need another 40 people for this summer. We need another 40 people for fall, another 40 for next spring. So we have to crank them out 40 at a time. And you know, provided they're successful in this program, these are jobs that start at $25 an hour with the potential to go quite a bit up from there as this company continues to grow.
And so, there's paid internships involved. So it's really a no-lose situation for qualifying students.
Right. I mean, you know, we had a lot of people who came from other parts of industry with various degrees of skills already. So they already had jobs, the majority of them, but they were looking at, you know, need a better lifestyle, need a better job, a career, and that's what this provided. The beauty of this is that we really needed this in Yavapai County because we need to really start ratcheting up on getting a technical presence here if we're going to stay competitive. So this is the first, and the way I think everybody's looking at it is, you know, it takes one to get two and two to get four. And we have to provide then the skilled employees these companies are looking for. And I think considering the time frame, and again, all the credit goes to faculty on this, they've done a fantastic job. It's tough. It's a tough 15 weeks. You know, we refer it to kind of the bacon and eggs thing. When you're the bacon, you know, that's an end all. You're the pig going to slaughter. And when you're the egg, well, that's an ongoing thing, right? Well, this is a pretty tough thing. So you've got to come in, be able to do 8 hours a day, a portion of which is going to be hands on, a portion of lecture, and then commit to 2 days a week in an internship and turn right around and do your homework on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But how many programs do you find where you have a 15 week robust program? And at the end of it, you have a $25 an hour job.
Right. And getting paid while you're doing that. And NACOG jumped in. And again, for qualifying students, the tuition and fees are covered. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. NACOG's been really awesome in this. They basically will qualify students. And so there's some parameters in that. But if you qualify, they pay the tuition. They can back pay wages if you're giving up a job for right now. So they can back pay the wages to help fill that gap while you're doing the training, which is paid. And so you start at $14 an hour in the training, and that's what you get for 2 days a week. So you do 2 8-hour shifts with them. But NACOG, again, can help backfill. And NACOG also helps with a portion of the paid training through RESA. So in other words, NACOG has programs where a company can come and they can figure out a way to get 50% of the training part of it, the income to students basically paid for as well. So NACOG's been great. We're having lots of discussions with them now. We have our next preview day for this is April 7th, Saturday, April 7th, 9 a.m., and we're going to try to wrap it up and get our next 40 for summer. So you could come to us for this summer and at the end of summer go into a $25 an hour job, and that's pretty exciting.
And there is some serendipity. You were talking about bringing technology technical jobs to the area. And this is an area that is not known for high paying jobs. In fact, quite the opposite. And it took a local boy who came back. He earned his chops elsewhere, came back here and decided, hey, I'd love this town. This is my hometown. I went to Prescott High School and I was an athlete here. I've got an interest in shoes and running and so on. I'm going to combine all that and bring this to my hometown. That's Glenn Hinshaw.
Yeah, Glenn Hinshaw is awesome. I mean, he knows what he has and he spends an enormous amount of time on the road pitching this to companies, but you don't get the Walmarts, the Costco's, the Nordstrom's, the Macy's, unless you're onto something, and he knows what he has. And that's the selling point to people right now, as you begin to see how technology can change. This 3D printing world is revolutionizing all forms of manufacturing right now. I just lost one of my very best instructors that was in CNC because of his 3D printing knowledge, lost him to Honeywell because Honeywell now is 3D printing the fuselage and wings of airplanes. So they're building these giant bays at several places around the country where they're going to be 3D printing the wings and things. Mm-hmm. So additive manufacturing is changing industrial as we know it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want people who can buy into this and what used to be considered, you know, kind of space age and future. It's not. It's here right now, and you have a chance to do this in Yavapai County.
Yeah, and one of the other programs that you have, and we'll come back to 3D printing, but one of your flagship programs is gunsmithing, and it is considered one of the best programs in the country and has always been filled, and it's hands-on. It is all about hands-on. And there are other entities now developing sort of online programs, more of an Amazon-type approach, that are actually doing well. And it seems to me that's really to the detriment of that industry. Can you address that?
Well, it's pretty hard to convince me that you can create a hands-on trained person online with the skill sets. We can replicate some things online. There's no doubt about it. We can send certain lab kits out to take it to a certain level. But I can't ship a $65,000 3D printer to somebody's house to take this stuff online. So how you replicate that, it's getting to be very interesting, and people have to pay attention to education and the type of education you'll really need to fare well. Our gunsmithing, we don't apologize for being very hands-on. The first year, we are all about becoming a gunsmith, which is repairing, firearms. The second year, we teach you how to build a firearm in its entirety. And that's the separation point there. So, you know, we look at online stuff as it's more of a tool, but in our areas of technical where you have to have the hands-on component, it's just that. It's a tool, but it's not the end all. And, maybe in our lifetime with virtual and things like that, some of that's going to come into play, but it's going to be in targeted segments that are money generators. These specialty areas, no. And so there's still high value to come and learn and do hands-on while you do it. The model that we're shifting to that's important to discuss is that we are really going more with business like RISA. We want them to be in school and have the paid internship. We're in discussion with two other companies on this very same thing right now because people are starting to get it. You can't give up your day job to go to school. But can we tie the two together? And when you tie the two together where they're getting the industry experience and the schooling portion, it's huge. And that cuts to the Freeport model that we've done for the last 11 years. That's a very successful model for us.
Mm-hmm. And you have other things going on, like UAS, for example. That's another thing we were talking about before we stepped into the studio. That was projected to have not a modest growth rate, but the projections were totally off, and that industry has exploded, and we're training for that as well.
Fastest growing program in the college. We grew 179% this spring, thanks to the diligence of Matt Minsmeyer. But the thing that people need to pay attention to is the drone world now, business and industry is figuring out rapidly how to use it as a tool. So we're actually doing a lot of work around the county with people right now. We just did a solar flyover to look at some cells at a school district in Cottonwood area and found out that their solar panels were 85% dysfunctional, basically. Mm-hmm. We are working with the city of Prescott 3D modeling an area right now. So we go with our drone, we shoot a bunch of pictures, we go back, students are on the computer, they stitch together all the photos, and we're printing a 3D model. And Prescott is using that, the city of Prescott, to reconfigure how they're going to run their hiking and biking trails now. If you look at it in a 3D model, there's a lot more that comes to life. life as opposed to looking at it in a two-dimensional, say, a Google Earth view. Mm-hmm. And so that's tip of the iceberg stuff. But that program is getting wildly popular as people begin to see this is a new tool to help your business in ways you've never thought of. You see it with real estate now, too. They go film the houses, things like that.
Sure.
But we just saw something where in the last 18 months, there's been more than 700 different jobs emerge in that industry as people begin to figure out how do you use an unmanned aircraft as a tool for your company.
Mm-hmm. And going back to 3D printing, before we came into the studio, we were talking about housing being created with 3D printing. And there have been some discussions at the college that you've been involved with regarding training for the construction industry here in Yavapai County.
Well, we're moving towards launching construction again. We have a huge labor shortage there. And so, you know, we're working with a variety of contractors and the Contractors Association now to rethink what do we have to do to get people trained. But, you know, in the meantime, we're going to do that. We're going to do our very best. But we're also keeping an eye on the 3D printing of houses because that, you know, I think is going to revolutionize the construction industry faster than maybe people are willing to accept. There is a bit of nostalgia that goes with all industries, and the thing that's very different now, I think, that I've seen, and I've been at this a long time, I've been pushing 30 years in the technical education realm, is that I've never seen technology in my life come at us and change as fast as it is now. I mean, we had the advent of computers, and that certainly changed a lot of things. But what's coming at us now is so fast, and a lot of it is being driven by a shortage of skilled labor. So when you have a shortage of skilled labor, what do? You have to compensate by other means.
Mm-hmm.
And 3D printing houses are in their infancy. But again, we said that about drones 2 years ago. The prediction then was that this time in 2018, we'd have 200,000 drones in the United States skies. We have 7 million. So that, if you take that scale and look at it right now, this is what's really happening out there, and it's going to take a very different kind of skill set. And people are going to have to shift, and they're going to have to shift fast to stay in the game.
Well, there's some people that aren't in the game. You know, we have agribusiness and culinary, and I've just been flashed with the one-minute signal, so let's kind of wrap that up. But are those still viable?
Oh, yeah, they're very viable. I mean, again, all hands-on skills there. Culinary is doing an awesome job with the new program in Sedona. Chef Jen up there has just done incredible things. Tremendous facility, and we're always going to have the need for those things. Ag as well, they continue to shift fundamentally in growing plants in large quantities in greenhouses. They're doing, they're tied into the vitaminology, the wine group. So sure, but understand, even with those, more and more tools getting created for those students to do their job better and more efficiently.
Okay, so for students and their parents, for example, they can go to yc.edu and do a search under CTEC and see all of the programs that are available. Preview day, one more time.
April 7th, CTEC, 9 a.m.
9 a.m. We've about run out of time. John Morgan, thank you for joining us today. Folks, stay tuned for more Rough Rider Radio right after this.
Yavapai College is your community college with 6 campus locations throughout Yavapai County, offering a wide variety of quality, affordable academic programs and job training that's designed to get you working quickly. Stay connected with Yavapai College through social media and receive the latest news about Performing Arts Center shows, art exhibitions, upcoming enrollment dates, course schedules, and more. It's all available by just visiting the college website at yc.edu. Now, let's return to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen.
Special thanks to Greg Tomshow and Joy D'Angelo for appearing on today's show, and thank you, audience, for supporting Yavapai College. Remember, you can find information on all YC classes, news, sporting events, concerts, and more by visiting yc.edu and following Yavapai College on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Kim Capen back with you on Rough Rider Radio next week.
You've been listening to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen. The views expressed on today's show are solely those of Yavapai College and do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our sponsors. Join us next Saturday at 12:30 for Rough Rider Radio on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Rough Rider Radio was paid for by Yavapai College and were solely responsible for its content.